do the announcements at the end. But if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Then I'm going to jump over into the book of Acts, but let's look and see what it got here in Luke. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. It reads like this. It says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets.' When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink." Let's jump over to Acts chapter 2 real quick, and if you keep your spot right there in Luke, we might come back to that. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his words were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, just come and speak to our hearts today, God. Father, help us, Lord, to hear a word from you this morning, God. Father, I thank you for what you've ignited in the hearts of these men and women over the course of this last week, Father. Lord, help prepare us for what it is that you're doing and going to be doing right here, God. Right here. In this ministry, in this fellowship, in this city, God, in the surrounding cities. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for preparing us, Father, for what's to come. I thank you, Father God, for beginning to get us in line and in place, Father, for what you're about to do. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. Wash us, cleanse us, and cover us in your Son's precious blood. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here this morning. Have your way, King Jesus. Anoint me to preach your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for his sake this morning. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
My topic today is getting ready to grow. Amen. Getting ready to grow. Somebody say, get ready.
Get ready.
Somebody look at your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Because we're about to grow.
Come on now.
Somebody look at your other neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Because we're about to grow. Now, I've got a message this morning that I want to share with you, and it's in order to have us in preparation for what God is about to do in and through this body of Christ and in and through this church. Amen. And this message is for the church, but it's also for the men and women in the home. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, here's a prophetic word to you right now. Amen. And the word is, amen, get ready. We're about to grow. Amen. We're about to grow. And what you're going to begin to see is you're going to begin to see some explosive growth. Are y'all with me today? How many of y'all believe that today? Amen. How many of y'all believe that today? No, what you're about to see is some explosive growth.
Come on now.
What you're about to see, y'all, you haven't seen nothing yet. Amen. What you're about to see, amen, is some explosive growth. And so I want to talk to you today, amen, because in order for us to be prepared for what it is that God is about to do, amen, we've got to begin to have some things in place. In order to be able to handle what God has for our lives. Are y'all with me today?
Hallelujah.
You know, I opened up in that scripture right there in chapter 5 of Luke. And there's some significance there that I want to reveal to you real quick. As we look here at verse 4, it says, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said..." Look at this. "Master, we worked hard all night." "Master, we worked hard for years."
My God.
"For months." Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Are y'all with me today?
Hallelujah.
"And we've caught nothing." We worked hard all this time. Amen. And where is this fruit that you're talking about? Where is this explosion that you're talking about? Well, I'm here to tell you, amen, it's right there on the brink of what God is about to release in your life. Amen. I don't believe that today. See, God just had to begin to get some things in place in order to be prepared for what he's going to do. So he goes on to say, "But I will do as you say and let down the nets." He's like, man, we've been working all night. We've been at it fishing all night. Ain't got any fishermen in the house today, amen? Some of y'all wish you were fishing, amen, praise the Lord. Well, just hang around, we might go fishing. And he says, "I will do as you say and let down the nets." Now, that's some good disciples. I don't see any results. I don't see any fruit. I don't see any proof of it. Amen. And it's kind of interesting that I preach this message right here because, you know, even though the home may be filling up the chairs this morning, we probably have the least amount of church members, amen, in this place this morning. Hello, somebody. But the good thing is that we have technology. See, I was going to considering waiting to preach this message, but I think, you know what? We got technology.
Amen.
God is good. Amen.
Amen.
And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. But look at this next part. "And their nets began to break." Somebody said, "We can't have our nets break." Are y'all with me today? So I want to talk to you about get ready to grow. You know, not all churches are prepared to grow, whether it be in spirit or whether it be in number. And the worst thing that we could have happen is that God begins to break loose and God begins to release a harvest, amen, of souls, and we're not prepared in order to receive that harvest. Or we're not prepared in order to receive that catch, amen, of souls. Are y'all with me today? God is good, amen. Verse 7 says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and sons of Zebedee, who were partners, and Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. Somebody say, do not fear.
Do not fear.
From now on, you will be catching men. Do not fear, for from now on, you will be catching men. See, you were a fisherman, and maybe now you're going to be a fisher of men. See, I like how God uses these examples, amen. He uses the comparison of fishing for fish, amen, and fishing for souls. Hello, somebody. You know, he makes it simple to where we can understand it, amen. When we can begin to see this, amen, this harvest of fish that's coming in. He says, you don't fear, you were fishing for me, for fish, but now I'm going to make you a fisher of men. God is good, amen. You know, I had shared some things a while back, and I was speaking about the Church of Antioch, and I was sharing various things, amen, that we're going to prepare for church growth, and I shared six different things, but one of them that I shared in the Church of Antioch is that it was a church that evangelized. It was a church that reached out, amen. Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
And that is something that is crucial, and that is something that is key in order to be effective in reaching souls.
Amen.
But how do y'all know that alone, amen, isn't going to be enough?
Right.
Just reaching the souls and bringing them into, amen, the house of God itself is not going to be enough.
Right.
Because if we're not prepared for that influx of souls, if we don't have some things in place, amen, if we're not, amen, equipped, if we're not focused, amen, if we're not, amen, if we're not ready, we might begin to see our nets begin to break.
Right. Come on now.
And I've always said this, how many of we do all this hard work to reach people? We do all this hard work to reach. We, you know, just in flyers alone, when it comes to the men's home and the women's home, amen, we go through, probably over 10,000 a week. We go through over 40,000 flyers in a month. But how many of y'all know, and we don't want to do that for nothing.
Amen.
We spend money on websites, and we just spend some money on a church app and these various things that we can reach out. And there's people that are working hard and diligently in order to be able to do this. And y'all are working hard and diligently in order for that to be possible. Amen.
Amen.
But why would we do all this hard work in order to lose the catch because the nets begin to break? Somebody said, don't let your net break.
Don't let your net break.
Somebody said, we can't let our nets break.
We can't let our nets break.
So even if a successful evangelist, amen, evangelistic thing, efforts go forth, how many of y'all know that's not enough? Amen. We've got to look beyond even just that. You know, when we talk about new believers or new Christians, new converts, amen, the mortality rate of new converts oftentimes can be very high. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
You know, in other words, there's a time whenever God grabs a hold of their life, and there's a time when they're still very vulnerable as they're beginning to develop and come to a point to where they have enough strength and enough growth in their life to be able to make it. And how do y'all know that that's a time when they come into home, amen, they've received Christ, but how do y'all know they're very vulnerable for what the enemy wants to do in their life? Sometimes they can be a sitting duck. That's why you have to protect, amen, the new believer.
Amen.
You have to protect, amen, the new Christian. And so I want you to look at it in regards to in the church. You have to protect the new souls that God brings into the house. Just like in a home, they need protection, amen. They need people that can come in and surround them and encourage them and you know, and pray for them, amen, and let them love on them and let them know that they can make it. It's not enough just to be good at outreach, amen. But you have to be good, amen, at maintaining and receiving what God brings. See, I'm trying to prepare y'all because there is, amen, there is growth that is about to happen.
Right.
Are y'all with me today?
Yeah.
This is coming, a word from the Lord, and y'all need to get ready. Somebody say, you got to get ready.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be caught not ready and say, man, I wish I would have had this in place. Or man, I wish I would have done that. Or man, I wish I would have, you know, done this. So I'm here to tell you this is the direction that we're about to go. Somebody say, get ready.
Get ready.
Mm. And I don't want to have to drag you there.
Come on now.
Oh.
Come on now.
Are you with me? In fact, I'm not going to drag you.
Amen.
I will leave you back there.
Oh my God.
Come
on. You come join the party when you get ready.
Ready.
Come on now.
Because there's work to be done. There's souls to be reached. There's people to be taken care of.
Yeah.
See, God is just getting us ready. The first thing that he was doing in order to get us ready was he was unifying us. He was unifying us so that we can be ready. See, thank God that God knows what he's doing in our lives. And thank God that he begins to lead and guide us as shepherds and leaders, amen, in order to be ready for what God's doing.
Amen.
He's just trying to get us ready for the blessing that's coming, amen. Hello, the thing that we've been praying for years, amen, is right here on the brink. But we got to be ready, amen, to receive what God has, amen, for our lives and for the church.
Yeah. Amen.
So I need your help. I need you to get ready.
Amen.
Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
You know, unless a congregation is prepared to nurture new converts, any success in evangelism may be short-lived. We can do all the outreach we want, and we may make an impact, but how many of y'all know it may be short-lived if we're not prepared? The most important people, we always tell them, amen, in the home is the new believer. And the most important people in the church is the new believer. So I want you to begin to get that mindset. When God, amen, brings him, and I want you to use discernment. Hello. They should come to a place where they feel welcomed here. Where they can feel apart. See, one thing we realize, we're all family.
Come on now.
We're all family, and if you're not sure about that, just keep hanging around. You'll find out, amen. Your family, you know how I knew I was family? When I came into the home, because they had already eaten dinner, and they had already cleaned up, and then and they went and they laid out the red carpet, and they cooked me, you know, grilled fish, fresh vegetables, and this wasn't even what they ate for dinner. Hello, somebody. Are y'all with me? At 9:30 at night, everything was, the kitchen was cleaned up, everything was done. Amen. How many of that made an impact in my life? Coming into a strange environment, coming into a whole new lifestyle in an area that I was very unfamiliar with. Everything around me was unfamiliar when God brought me, amen, to the place. Everything, I promise you. I was in Fair Park, and I'm not even from Dallas. It was very unfamiliar. Are y'all with me today? I was unfamiliar with the things of God. I was unfamiliar with, amen, people praying in unknown languages. I was unfamiliar, amen, with all these things. I was unfamiliar, amen, with sobriety. Hello, somebody. Wasn't something I knew much about. Like some of you, you're just learning. Thank you, Jesus. But to have real and enduring growth, we've got to get ready to grow. In order to have enduring growth, we've got to get ready to grow. And we've got to prepare ourselves, and we've got to prepare the congregation. Preparing ourselves as individual, amen, and preparing us as members of a congregation. Hello, somebody. How many of y'all willing to get prepared? And in this, we must do this as a congregation, amen. And we need to have, we're really blessed, you know. We've got a lot of things going for us. Amen. We're a church that's willing to get outside these four walls. We're a church that has some youth to it. Amen. We're a church that's very diverse in culture, diverse in backgrounds. Hello, somebody. Hello, diverse in all kinds of ways. There's not a whole lot that's holding us back from being able to reach, amen, every bit of demographic, every bit of, class, everything.
Right.
We've got everything in place. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
We've got a wonderful worship team. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. Amen. Pastors that are, amen, after God's own heart, amen, that are, you are with me, that want to see people make it. And now God is putting in place the infrastructure of leadership that's being established. You can see it forming right before your eyes. Amen.
Amen.
It's in place. It's there. And now God's about to release, amen, the provision. Amen. Hello, somebody. Of a facility to hold them. Come on, somebody needs to get excited in here. Yeah. So we've got all these things in place. We've got people that love God. We've got people that are committed. We've got people, amen, that are for the vision. We have people, amen, that, you know what I'm saying, that are, hello.
Amen.
We've got people that live their life in a way that's pleasing to God. Morally right. Their heart's right. Their focus is right. God's setting the stage, amen, for the, do y'all see it right before your eyes? But we've got some things that we've got to be getting to get ready. In order to grow, we've got a worship atmosphere where God is present, where the word can be ministered. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
Where it draws people closer to God.
Yes.
I believe we have that. I believe when I walk out of this service, no matter who's been behind that pulpit and who's been up here on worshiping, I feel closer to God.
Amen.
That's something, unfortunately, not every church has, but we're blessed that we have it. Are y'all with me today? But we need to ask ourselves this. Amen. Do our visitors experience courtesy and warmth? Are y'all with me today? See, we have a lot of things that are in place. We have a lot of things where the environment is right. Amen. But we need to make sure that we are prepared in every aspect. And this is where we're going to begin to focus. Amen. We're going to begin to take the ushering to another level. We're going to begin to take the greeters to another level. We're going to begin to take the care ministry to another level. Amen. We're going to begin to take all these things, the children's church, to another level. We're going to begin to take the youth to another level. The first thing God had to do was unify us, amen. And I believe we've accomplished that, and we've got to work diligently to preserve it and maintain it so that we can go forward. But now it's time, amen, in order to get these areas in place. So when they come in, amen, they don't feel excluded because we're one big family. We're like in the book of Acts chapter 2, amen, eating together and praying together and reading the word together and hanging out together and everything. But what about when somebody new comes? Are they going to feel like an outsider? Are they going to feel welcomed? And I think this is areas where God wants us to begin to focus. Hello. Are y'all with me today? See, I want y'all to get excited with me today. My gosh. You know, new converts, they often depend heavily upon spiritual nourishment provided by the assembly, amen, by the congregation, and rightly so, that's how it is, amen. We start off on milk and then we end up on meat. Milk is where you get fed, amen, you know. And meat is where you learn how to eat yourself. But I believe we have that, amen. You know, as we kick off and continue to do Get Connected and, amen, we continue to do these other classes that are going forth, amen. I see it all, but it's in place. God's about to do it. But if we are serious about growing, amen, then those that are lead in assembly, those that lead in different areas, amen, are going to have to take their task seriously too. Aren't you grateful that you come to a place where, amen, that the worship is taken seriously? That you come to a place where the Word of God is taken seriously? Where we want to create an environment where people can get touched by God, where people can get, amen, a word from God, where they can get empowered by God, amen. It's not just, amen, going through the motions. It's not just, amen, just all this, but it's something. We want to make sure we walk out of here with something that's going to empower us to go, amen, forward.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that's not in every church? Because they lost the fire, maybe. Or maybe they never had it. Are y'all with me today? So what this means is those that lead is that they got to come prepared to serve in their role.
Yes.
Doing so gladly and doing it with enthusiasm. You know, whenever people come to the door, do they get greeted, amen, with a good greeting? Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
With a smile, with genuineness.
Amen.
You know, we can always tell when somebody's faking. It's like, amen. Smile on the face. You know. I mean, God's gifted us. Anybody that's come from our lives now, they've given us that discernment. You know, you don't have to have the gift of discernment to do that. It's just naturally in us. You know. We can tell when you're full of baloney and when you're not, when you're real and when you're not. But, amen, not everybody's got that gift, but we do. You know, it just comes with the territory from where our background is.
Amen.
We can tell who's real and who's not, who's faking and shaking.
Amen.
Not everybody's got that gift. That's why, you know, some of y'all used to hustle people and run game on them. And that's why God brought you here, a place where people can see through all that. You know, so thank you, Jesus. So you can go. every member will do what they can do to make our assembly edifying to all. And that may include arriving early to welcome visit and visit with visitors or members, amen. And participating wholeheartedly in different areas, amen. How about the prayer time and the singing and so forth? Are y'all with me today? It's going to take all of y'all. Are y'all with me? Or staying around afterwards and visiting with those that come.
Come on.
And I believe, you know, we're going to actually have some people that's going to be the responsibility. People person, you know. We got people persons in here. Not people pleasers. People persons. I'm about to do a tongue twister. Peter Piper picked the pickle. People that like people. If you don't like people, then you don't need to do ministry.
I promise you. Woo-hoo! Say it again. Say it again.
And if you don't just keep coming back, it might change. God will change your heart. Are y'all with me today? But we gotta nurture these people. You know, as valuable as our church may be, amen. The people may not be adequate by themselves. I've shared about all these areas that are really strong, man. Really strong worship, really strong preaching, really strong presence and all that. But that, you know, for people that are new, that may not be adequate. New members may remain on the fringe because they're left out. Amen, of the family life, of the congregation. See, that's why some people don't want churches to grow, because we just like it just like it is. We don't want it to get any bigger. You know, we like our church, our family, our this, and that's it. Nobody else is welcome. But how many of y'all know that's not the vision of God?
Amen.
And that's not what God is going to do here.
Amen.
That's why when you begin to see growth sometimes in churches, and hopefully not here, amen, but then you begin to see some people leave. Oh, it's not that little church anymore. Amen. We've got a big vision to reach the world for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. We want to reach as many as we can. You know? I'll tell you, like the guy told me in Tawakini, we like stacking as deep as we can. Hello? Praise the Lord. God is good, amen. We don't care if we got to stand up. That's okay. Come on, we're going to stand up. But a lot of times new converts, they remain on the fringe. But if they remain on the fringe for long, they may begin to look elsewhere. See, there's a nugget right here. Does that make sense? The most important person coming through those doors is the new convert, the new believer, the new member. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
And a lot of times, babes in Christ, amen, they often require special attention and they require special nurturing. You know, we all start out as babies in Christ. That's just what it is. You're born again. You're a baby in Christ. It don't matter how old you are, 20, 40, 60, 80. You're a baby in Christ, amen.
Amen.
And then you begin to grow and mature and amen. And you know, are y'all with me today?
Amen.
And a lot of times, new converts, they bring with them personal problems, and they need the concern and the care, amen, of those that are interested, mature Christians. See, I'm trying to prepare y'all for something. I'm trying to get you ready. I want you to start thinking like this. I want you to think outside. This is why you got to think outside of just yourself. You can't just come in here thinking about yourself. Even me as a pastor preparing to preach a message, amen, as I begin to mature and I begin to grow, amen, then I can begin to balance this even better before I preach. Because sometimes I'm focused, amen, and they'll be like, oh, that pastor's rude, man. No, I'm getting ready to preach and I want to make sure I got a good message, amen. But I mean, you know, even then, are y'all with me? And I know this sounds silly, but this is real stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Because if we're not concerned with them, we may lose them. And they may wither away. And so we ask ourselves, well, what does it take for a congregation to provide such things? Well, it begins with what are we willing to do individually? What are we willing to do individually? We can't always put it off on everybody else, amen? Well, there's specific people that take care of that.
Come on now.
It takes individually, we begin to operate in this manner, and as a result, that's what, amen, the congregation, amen, begins to provide. The congregation includes everybody that's in this place.
Amen.
Everybody that considers this their home.
Come on.
Everybody that's been born again, amen.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you for just a moment about what we must do as individuals. Because we're talking about a congregation, but it starts with individuals, amen. The first thing we need to do, write this down, is strengthen our relationship with God. Strengthen our relationship with God. Now, why is this so important? Because others must see in us the blessings of walking with God.
Come on, man.
Not simply the pride of knowing about the Lord. We can't share what we don't have. We've got to make it look appealing to people to be a Christian.
Come on, man. Hello.
That doesn't mean that we compromise. That doesn't mean that we do any kind of thing, amen. That means that we can walk with the joy of the Lord in our lives. That we've got a smile on our face. That we've got the victory, amen. Even though we may go through things and we may deal with stuff, amen. We still got the joy of the Lord in our lives.
Yeah.
We still got the victory, amen. The battle's been won.
Right.
We're still overcomers.
Hallelujah.
And we walk in a way, amen, where they can see the blessing of God. Not just because we got fancy jewelry and fancy clothes. Amen. But we got the joy of the Lord. Could you imagine walking into a place and everybody looks defeated and angry and bitter and, you know? If I was coming up, I don't want none of that, man. I gotta get, you know, I better get high before I come to this place. Just so I can make it through the service. The devil is a lie. If you're going to do that, you're going to the wrong church. Amen. Are you serving the wrong God? One of the two. And no matter how strong our relationship with God is, how many of y'all know we can always improve?
Yes, sir.
You know, this is something that Paul recognized, amen, in his own life. Are y'all with me? Paul recognizes this in his own life. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen. Glory to God. This is what he read. Somehow my scriptures disappeared off my but I got a backup. Hello. Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. Somebody say, press on.
Press on.
So that I may lay hold of that for what which also I was laid hold of by Christ. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Somebody said, reveal it, Lord.
Reveal it, Lord.
See, Paul right here is beginning to communicate right here. He recognized that in his own life that he could even improve in certain areas. He recognized even in his own life that he could begin, amen, to take his walk with God to another level. Hello, somebody. That he could become better. How many of each and every one of us can become better? None of us have arrived. We can become better in the area that God has us. We can become better in our actions. We can become better in our heart. We can become better in our service. We can become better. So we've got to strengthen our relationship with God. Peter wrote that our spiritual growth must always be increasing. He said this, now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, somebody say increasing.
Increasing.
They render you neither useless nor unfruitful.
Amen.
In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if these are increasing. He didn't say, if you've arrived at this. He said, if these things are increasing, then you render neither useless nor unfruitful. We've always got to be getting better. We've always got to be looking to improve. We've always got to, amen, look to go, amen, to the next level. We've always got to be more like Christ. That's always got to be our goal for all of us. If that's not your focus, you got the wrong focus. If you're coasting and you're good where you're at, amen, there's something wrong with that. You're going to find yourself going backwards. I like that increasing. Then you're not useless. It's got to be increasing. Are y'all with me today? Therefore, we must continue to add to our faith alone and to our knowledge. God is good, amen? The next thing is, this point is, strengthen our relationship with one another. Are y'all with me today? First, you got to strengthen your relationship with God. Then you got to strengthen your relationship with one another. And you say, well, why is this important? Amen. Well, our love and unity is a powerful witness for Christ. Are y'all with me today? In fact, it's so powerful that Jesus said, amen, when y'all are one, talking about the believers, when y'all are one, this is my prayer, that y'all become one, because when y'all are one, when y'all are unified, then it's going to cause the world to believe.
Come on, right.
In other words, when we're not one and we're not unified, how many of y'all know it deters people from coming to the things of God? See, that's why God had to begin to get things in place. He had to begin to get things in order. And that's why the enemy came, amen, attacking the hardest in that specific area right before, amen, what God is about to do. Because he knew if we went into this next, amen, season ununified, if he knew that we went into this next season, amen, with division, if he knew that we went into this next season, amen, with gossip and slander and backbiting, amen, and all these things, amen, he knew that we, amen, would not be able to retain what God was about to release. But how do y'all know we got the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God he's not going to leave us in the dark. Thank God he's not going to leave us smoke. Thank God he's not going to leave us. We got the Holy Ghost and we got the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so God begins to come and bring love and unity back, which brings power, and which begins to draw the unbelievers. If you remember what drew you to Christ, it wasn't just because you were scared of going to hell. Some of you were already in hell. I know I was in hell. But it was the love of God. So he's new as my probation officer. That was God's love. That was God's love for your life. But I want to share this with you. A unified church is a great witness for Christ. If we go out there and we reach people and we go do these outreaches and we go do these evangelistic efforts and we go do these things and they come into here and all they experience is division discord and all this disunity, how many of y'all know that the nets are going to be able to break? Okay? They're not going to stay. Would you want to come into a place and they might have the awesome worship and they might have good preaching and they might have cool lights? Oh. They might even buy you diapers. But if they come into cool lights, hey, y'all ain't seen them. Y'all think these lights are cool. These are the youth lights right here. Hello, somebody. Yep. You about to see some lights. Are you still recording on Facebook?
No.
Good. But we're looking at building, man, 20,000 square feet of church. Y'all can hear me, do you? And it's going to happen real soon. I'm going to tell you this. I called the banker the other day. I'm just waiting on you. Come on, man. Let's do it. Direction to the men of God and how to build the tabernacle. He gave me direction on how to build Solomon's temple. And we want to have clear direction on how to build God's house. Well, we've got to get together. It's not going to be enough to have a big fancy building. It's not going to be enough to have a cool sounding worship team. It's not going to be enough to have good preaching. They can turn on TV and get some good preaching, or whatever it is. I don't know how much it's going to be. They can even go to our app and get some good preaching.
Amen.
We've got to get a reason for them to come. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
And if everybody starts staying home listening to the preacher, I'm going to quit putting it on the app. Start charging for it.
Amen.
Amen. Get ready to grow. $3. But Pastor.
Real. I'm real.
Yeah. God's word is free. Why are you charging? Because I want to get you to come to the house of God and get lifted up and get encouraged, amen, and be a part of what God's doing. It's not enough to just sit on our couch and listen and watch. I mean, that's good if you're stuck in a hospital bed, amen, but other than that, you can get up and go to church. Are y'all with me today? So no matter how strong our relationship with one another is, How many of y'all know we can always improve? We need to continue to improve these relationships. We need to be continuing to work on them.
Amen.
We've got to maintain them and preserve them, and we've got to improve them. So we've got to improve our relationship with God. We've got to improve our relationship with each other. Do y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Let's continue to improve them. Let's work on them. Let's do that right now. These are the things, we got to get ready to grow. So we've got to get ready to improve our relationship with God. We've got to improve our relationship with each other. Let's work on that. Can we work on that?
Yeah. Amen.
Continue to be together in unity. Continue to, you know what I'm saying, stop that enemy from sowing that discord. Continue to, chop that devil's head off right there where it is. Amen. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
This is what Jesus said. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He goes on to say, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Yeah. When they see us unified, they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When they see us, amen, in disunity, it creates and hinders their belief. Isn't that crazy? In other words, in the home, if we see all the older guys fighting amongst each other and tearing each other down, do you know when the new believer sees that, man? It creates them not to believe. What is this stuff? Fake. This is phony. Phony baloney. In other words, then we go try to minister to them and share with them, and they don't want to hear nothing you got to say. The devil is a liar because y'all got some good stuff to say, man.
Yeah.
Y'all are the best things for God. Y'all are God's mouthpiece. Man, if it wasn't for somebody coming and talking to me and sharing with me and imparting to me, I'd be lost because I didn't know what the heck this stuff was saying, man. I read it. I'm like, what is this doing? When I first got saved, I'm glad that they preach to you all day long and yell at you, amen. They yell at me all day. Big ass up there yelling, preaching. I'm grateful for it, man, because otherwise I would have never got it, because I wasn't sitting there just understanding what my Bible said. Man, I'm still trying to figure out if I could even stay awake, or, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, I mean, I open my Bible trying to get this one like this. Like this. But I had somebody up there preaching. What do we shut ourselves off from them being able to hear? What are we saying? Because we're not in unity as leaders. Not as good, amen. The Lord is good. We got to strengthen our relationship with one another, huh?
Amen.
And here, this is the last one, and this is, I want to be real careful sharing this because I don't want to mislead anybody. Okay? But in order to see this thing grow in the way that God wants it to grow, we've got to find a way to develop relationships with the lost.
Amen.
We don't want to go and win over other people's church members. That's not what it's about. Yeah, if God brings them, thank you, Jesus. They need a church home, that's fine. But we've got to be able to reach the lost, and we do a good job with that in the home, but we've got to figure out how to do that in the church. And it's about relationships. And I know that's tough for people like us because we're like, man, I've got to be careful who I hang around. I can't just be kicking with anybody. I promise you, I can't. You know what I'm saying? But for those of you that have matured, and so those of you that are strong in the Lord, and those of you that know you are Christ, amen, you've been delivered and you've been walking in it for a couple of years. We've got to pray and figure out a way to develop relationships with these people. It's about relationships. Outside of these walls, we can't just be in our own little bubble.
Amen.
You know, and so we've got to really use wisdom in that, doing that, man. Because we don't just kick it just to kick it.
Amen.
I don't just go hang out at the drug house just to hang out there, man. I'd be crazy. I got to go there with a purpose. You know, you begin to develop relationships with people for a purpose. And that is to win them to Jesus. Amen. That way you can continue that relationship. It's not going to keep you creeping. You know what I'm saying? People that are unequally yoked, we don't do that. We can't just do that, man. We're setting ourselves up for a failure, especially guys like us. We can't afford it. Because if we go hard to pay. You know what I'm saying? We can't just go when it's happy hour and they just got out work and they're popping the top. And that's probably not the right time. Unless we got the whole crew with us. But even then, we might come back the next day with the crew at home. So we've got to use wisdom. But you know, I'm going to read to you a scripture. Y'all are familiar with this. And God is good. If I can find it, amen. I put all my little scriptures on the page, and I put print, and that sucker deleted them. Should have just wrote them out, huh? God is good. Praise the Lord. All right, maybe I don't need to share that. But anyways, put it this way. For light to shine, amen, light must shine in darkness if it's going to be much fun. If people are sick, those with the cure must be willing to get among them somehow. Are y'all with me today? And so relationships with the lost can serve as the basis for continued relationships with them after they've been saved. I don't know how we're going to do this, but this is what we need to pray about. Amen. When we go and invest in people, it's for a purpose. Because we have a plan to win them for Jesus. That's it. It starts with a relationship. Somebody saw me out there when I was on drugs. You know, I went to a church and got saved before I even went to the home. I mean, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost at the home. You know, got delivered. But, you know, somebody took it upon himself to develop a relationship when I was out there lost in my addiction. I thank God they didn't have an addiction, at least not that kind. I'm talking to the people that are strong. Are you all with me today?
Amen.
And so developing a relationship with the lost, it's an ongoing process. But it's an effort to share the gospel. Amen. And if this is at that point, when you share the gospel, if it's not well received, then maybe, you know, you begin to move around. Are y'all with me? You know, just as Jesus couldn't stay in one place, we can't limit our outreach to just a few friends or relatives, amen, and neighbors. So we've always got to be on the lookout for new relationships with the lost. Are y'all with me? God is good, amen. And how many of y'all know simple hospitality is gonna, it'll go a long way. Both offered and accepted. You know, Matthew extended hospitality to his friends soon after Jesus called him. Jesus accepted the opportunity to eat and be with the lost. And so when we're talking about inviting the lost to our church or our assembly, this can be very profitable. Amen. Are y'all with me today? Next time I'll check and make sure my scripture. Can I get the worship team to come forward? So we've got to strengthen our relationship with God. We've got to strengthen our relationship. Y'all all right? Somebody's in sin. Lady. Maybe he's going to turn into a friend. So. We live in a country, man. Just think of it as now. Whatever those things would sting. You know, one thing I want to share with you as we begin to close, get ready to close here in just a moment, okay? To be useful to the master, an individual must prepare him or herself. To be useful to the master, an individual must prepare him or herself. But the same is true regarding the churches. Are y'all with me today? But if we as individuals fail to do our part, then how many of y'all know any effort by the congregation as a whole is greatly weakened? In other words, it's going to take each and every one of us doing our part. It's going to take each and every one of us, amen, beginning to have the mindset that the new converts, the new Christians, the new members are important. That meeting them, amen, with a smile, with a greeting, amen, making them feel welcome, encouraging them, praying for them, amen, doing something helpful for them. If we don't do our parts as individuals, then it weakens the whole congregation. Are y'all with me? It weakens the whole church. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of this puzzle of what God is wanting to do. You are a part, amen, of the success, amen. Hello, somebody. You're a part, amen, of pulling in those nets, amen, that have those regional, amen. Oh, it's going to take the help of the people, amen, just like they needed help in the pocket, in the room, in the pull of the heart. It's a pull of the nets. So we've got to prepare both ourselves and the congregation. So what I want to ask ourselves is right here. This is what I want to, each of us to ask ourselves. Do we really want to grow? Do we really want to grow? Do we really want to see this thing take off? Do we really want to see souls saved? Do we really want to see lives changed? Do we really want to see a church grow? Do we really want to see a community change? Do we really want to see people fall in love with Jesus? Do we really want to see revival happen? Do we really want to see it? see it, that we're going to do our part. And we're not just going to leave up out of here and go do the same thing. But we're going to begin to focus on how we can improve, how we can make things better, how we can take it to the next level, and how we can reach more souls, how we can retain more souls. How can we retain more new believers? How can we retain more new converts? How can we begin to do it? Because teaching of the Lord is not enough. You can't just reach them and leave them. That's what a lot of churches do, and that's why you got the babies in Christ that stay that way for years. And eventually they'll work their way and they'll stop coming. And they may go back to the world. Or go to some church that's lukewarm, where at least they feel welcome.
Good.
See, we have a lot of things on our side. We got a lot of things going for us. We got a lot of things that we're really blessed with. We're about to get blessed with the next part of the puzzle, the next piece of the puzzle. Oh! And that is what the Son needs to do it. We gotta get ready. He's gonna take all of your hope. He's gonna take every one of you focused with the same mind and the same heart. And the same mind and the same heart. And the same mind and the same heart. 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 It's not all about you no more.
Right. It's about
the next person coming to come on his house.
Right.
This isn't something that the pastor can accomplish on his own. This is something that's going to take the whole body of Christ.
Amen.
The whole church. You know, your thought ought to be when people come in. What can we do to make this the most effective? The most effective experience for them? Do I need to shake their hand? Do I need to smile? Do I need to offer them a bottle of water? Do I need to just pray for them? Do I need to invite them out to lunch?
The worship cola.
Do I need to take a gift to their house and just thank you for coming to the church? Do I need to go buy them some groceries? You know, when Heather and I first came to the church, we didn't have no money. I took all the money and went and got high with it all. And she was used to operating off of my income and her income. And I was the breadwinner at that time. And I went ziggity boom. And it was really, you know, kind of embarrassing to have to go to the food pantry at the church and ask for food. That's where we were at. Of course, you know me, I didn't have a problem with it, but for your family, you know. I'm like, I'm hungry, come on, hook it up. You know, selfish. How selfish we are when we first get saved. But that type of love, man, that's what won us over. That people invited us to their house for dinner and just letting us know that we can make it, that God's got a plan, that God loves us, and they care about us. Just to know that somebody cares. We're in a world where people don't care. And if they know that you care, it goes a long ways, man. It goes a long way. They got to know you care.
Yeah.
Amen. Leaders and directors, they got to know you care. If they don't think you care, come on, they got to know you care. They may not like what you have to say. They might not even like you, but they can't deny the fact that you care.
Come on.
So my question is, do we really want to grow? Because As with the physical body, the only alternative to growth is gradual decay and death. We're either going to grow or we're going to die. And God wants to grow this thing. God wants to, God's given us a lot of good things to provide for the body of Christ. There's just some little areas that we got to fine tune. There's just some little areas that we got to get in place. Just some little areas we got to take to the next level. Just the little things. We don't want to do all this hard work and spend all this money and all this energy. Amen. And just the little things. Amen. The little things. Amen. That are going to retain them. The little things. Come on, somebody. The little things. You know what I'm missing? Come on, somebody. Come on, you know what I'm missing.